بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أولا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for allowing us to participate in this very important session about how to the importance of zakat and how to give zakat. It is one of the fundamental pillars of Islam, which we'll get into inshallah ta'ala for this seminar. Because of the constraints of time, I limited it to just explaining the rulings and a couple of additional issues, so that way it's much clearer, so everyone can really just get into the meat of the issues. I've taken on a lot of the proofs and evidences. If you need any of the evidences or the dalil, whatever, it might help you with this topic, inshallah, I'm always willing to discuss these things afterwards, inshallah. There's not a problem. But for this one, just to make sure we get through all the rulings, it's just really specifically just touching on that topic. So let's get into it right away, inshallah. A brief understanding of zakat is what we'll get into first. Who is considered? Who needs to give? Who doesn't need to give? Zakatable wealth versus non-zakatables, right? When do you need to give? Who is best to give to, or who to give to, and the best places to give. And inshallah, that will be within our about 45 to 50 minute time frame, inshallah ta'ala. So let's just first start off with the concept of zakat and sharia. When we talk about Islamically speaking, what is zakat? It is a mandatory charity taken from one's excess wealth and given to eligible recipients annually. Okay, it's a mandatory charity. It's a fard charity taken from one's excess wealth and given to eligible recipients annually. It's an annual charity. And so that's what it is in terms of the legal books. When we're talking about the legal texts. In terms of what it is linguistically, what zakat does for us, is that it purifies our wealth. You have to think about weeds in a garden. When there are weeds in the garden, other plants can't grow. There's a lot of damage into the garden as a whole. And so one of the first things the farmer needs to do is to take out the weeds. And so zakat is like the weeds within the garden of our wealth. Is that when we take out the weeds in the garden of our wealth, we'll find that it will be purified. And once it purifies, it grows naturally and increases more plentiful than when the weeds were there originally. So zakat in both means, it linguistically means increase and purification. So by taking out the impurities in our wealth, the wealth will grow and it will increase. So that's what Muslims should understand about it. The Prophet ﷺ describes zakat as the filth of the wealth of people, right? Awsakhun nas. And so that's the Prophet ﷺ describing it as the filth in one way. Another way he describes it of the performance of this act of zakat is one of the pillars of iman. The Prophet ﷺ described it as one of the five pillars of our deen. And so what we find is salah is the, you know, when we're talking about prayer, prayer is the ibadah, it is the worship of the body. Prayer is the worship of the body. Whereas zakat is the worship of the wealth. We're talking about our money, the way that our money does ibadah is that we actually give out zakat. It is like the fard prayer for our bodies. This is the fard sadaqah, the fard charity for our wealth. Another scholar said it very beautifully. He said that salah is like the zakat on our time. Salah is the zakat on our time. And then he said, zakat is like the salah of our wealth. Very beautifully. Because salah is what? That you give a certain amount of time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is like your zakat. And similarly, zakat is like the prayer of our wealth. It's how our wealth does its ibadah, does its worship. So we should understand these things as a more spiritual point. You know, it's not just the fact of zakat, just, okay, I'm just giving away money. No, no, no. There is a sickness of miserliness or stinginess in the heart. And zakat's focus is to get rid of that, to remove that. Sometimes we find that our wealth, we feel like it is our right. And we have to understand as Muslims, wealth is not our right. It is a gift. It is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are blessed with this wealth. And we're giving a portion away of this wealth to the poor Muslims who required, who needed to survive. Oftentimes we forget about how wealthy we really are compared to the entire world, 90% of the world, a huge percentages of the world. We are so well off, we don't realize how well we are. And so this is what zakat does for us, is to first and foremost remember the poor, understand what type of sacrifice and struggles they're going through, and then remove the sickness of our heart that we don't care about others. So zakat removes that so that we think about our societies. And most importantly, we understand that the wealth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His gift to us. And so we should find no shame or no hardship in giving it away when Allah ta'ala asks for it, inshallah. Okay? And so this one little picture I found that really captures it in terms of how much you're really giving away. Someone put out like 10 cucumbers. And then he cut up one of the cucumbers into fourths, right? It's into fourths there. He said, one portion of that is the amount for the poor. The rest of it is for us. Okay? So that small little piece of that cucumber is given to the poor. And the remaining nine portions and 3/4 is for us. Another beautiful way of saying it is that if we're thinking about zakat, you divide it by 40. 1/40 goes to the poor, 39 parts for us to enjoy and to use for the rest of the year. Okay? So the reality of zakat is the same way when we tell people it's an honor to go for hajj. People say, wow, you got so blessed. You're so blessed to go for hajj. MashaAllah, you are so blessed to give zakat. You know, some guy was saying, alhamdulillah, I'm giving less zakat. I said, subhanAllah, you know, like, what is with us? Alhamdulillah, you're giving more zakat. This is an ibadah. It's a fard. The same way, mashallah, such honor a person will receive on the day of judgment for performing hajj. The same way a person will receive such honor because they gave their zakat. So this is the right of the poor. It's not a choice that we have in the matter. When we understand it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave us the wealth and Allah gave us this hukum, this decree to give it to the poor, then we understand that Allah, if you said it, I'm giving it away. And if on top of that, my heart becomes purified, my sins become forgiven, and the fact is that my wealth increases because of this, then this is just nur ala nur. This is a light from you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. It's even greater from your side. Okay? And just some quick studies about these topics. The ulama have written very, very long material, like just on the topic of zakat. They said that the zakat was paid on crops in the Muslim world, because zakat it's really a tax on all the wealth, you know, everything that we enjoy. It is very, very vast in terms of its approach and its scope. So if zakat was paid on crops in the Muslim world, there will be no more hunger in the Muslim world. And if zakat was given on cash, the one scholar had written, there will be no more poverty in the world. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah ta'ala. And so wealth should be moving. The idea is that Islam likes that wealth be moving. There should always be a chance for that the wealth doesn't stay in one spot. It should, because as long as wealth is going around, that means, you know, and you can see this in any recession, they always want people to spend more money. The more money you can spend, mashallah, what you'll find is that the economy will be flourishing. It will develop and it will grow. And we want that our Muslim communities really develop. And one of the best ways is that we actually get the money to move around. And that's what zakat does. It moves around like almost like in a forceful way to make sure that the economy is generating and it's growing, developing. Okay. And so that's what you're going to understand is that zakat never charges you on your gross. Right? It's not on the gross that you receive every single year. It is on the net, right? What is at the end of the year? What is the excess? A company doesn't have to worry about certain things, you know, about certain things that are being utilized. And we're going to get into all these things, inshallah. But the things that are being used, we don't have to worry about that. In terms of what, if it's being hoarded or if it's being stored, then you have to pay zakat on those things. So we want to make that clear for everyone, is that when things are being spent, money is moving, then the economy is running. If it's being stored or hoarded in one spot, now you have to give zakat on it. So that way the economy continues to flow and flourish. And so just to give you an idea as to how much money we're talking about, this is about a certain Muslim billionaire. You know, if you're talking about how could Muslims solve the problem of poverty through zakat, this is one certain Muslim billionaire. This was one of his net worths. I don't want to get sued. So I'm just going to say one of his net worths from before, because some people get very sensitive about this topic. Okay. $18.7 billion net worth. Okay. I said for the sake of argument, because obviously there are certain personal usage, there are certain things that are not zakatable, right? So I said, all right, for the sake of argument, let's just say $15 billion. He uses $3 billion for his own personal use. $15 billion is on his net. It's his excess wealth by the end of the year. That's the zakatable, right? We divide $15 billion by 40. We get how much in zakat? $375 million in zakat. $375 million in zakat, okay? This could stabilize an entire economy of a country, a small country, okay? And so we should not say that Muslims do not have wealth. Rather, we should say that Muslims should be more free in giving out their wealth. That's the idea here, okay? So it's not on your personal expenses. I've already mentioned that. It's 2.5% on excess wealth. If you're going to see any of the tax, because I hated that someone the other day, they called and they said, the way they were speaking to me, it almost felt like they're talking about zakat like a tax. And when they were saying zakat like a tax, I was like, yeah, Allah, it's a sign of the end of times. The Prophet ﷺ actually said it very beautifully. He said that at the end of times, people will take zakat as a tax. They'll think like Allah is giving them a penalty. La ilaha illallah, this is an honor as a Muslim to be able to give this out. And the second thing is that it is not a tax. You know, like these states, what do? They tax your money before it even comes to you. Your gross income is being taxed. In zakat, what is it? After you've used everything at the end of the year, after all the stuff that happens in the year, one day of the year, just check an excess amount that you have and give that out. That's what Islam is telling you to do. And again, the reason is so that money can circulate. Okay, and so mashallah, we'll get into a lot of these issues, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. As a Muslim, we should always understand sadaqah does not decrease wealth. Wallahi, if you were to give it every single year, you'd only find that Allah will give more khayr every single year. You'll find more children, more grandchildren, a lot more barakah. Everything will just feel much better. Life will feel like Jannah because we're living like Jannatis, right? We're living the way that Allah ta'ala wanted us to live. So sadaqah does not decrease wealth. There should be no doubt in any Muslim's mind that Allah, when He promises something, it will happen. May Allah give us that understanding and that faith, inshallah. Okay? So that's our just little reminder about the importance of it. Let's get into the concept of who must give and the other issues about zakat. When it comes to who has to give zakat, we have generally four conditions that we look at. Obviously, you got to be a Muslim, right? That's probably what you all are doing here, right? Zakat has to be given by a Muslim. He has to be an adult, or she has to be an adult, meaning reaching the age of puberty. Right, once a child is basically 13, 14 years old and they have a certain amount of money, there could be a chance that they have to start giving zakat. That's why our youth have to understand this, you know, and they're always like Eid gifts, etc. There could be a chance our child has already become like, you know, a person who has to give zakat and we didn't even realize it. So it's important for us to be aware of this, that at the age of puberty is when zakat actually starts. It is fard. The same way prayer becomes fard, the same way zakat becomes fard. A person has to be sane, meaning they have a sane mind. They're not insane, right? They're not. They have their sanity, right? Okay. And then the fourth thing is that certain amount of excess wealth, which is a nisab, right? And we're going to get into that. What is that certain amount? What is that threshold that a person needs in order to give zakat? Okay. What is this nisab here? This is the first question we're going to address. A certain amount of wealth required for a person to be eligible to give zakat, which is measured in the parameters of gold and silver. We're talking about from gold and silver is how we understand what nisab is. It is a certain amount of money that a person needs to have. Okay, so a certain amount of gold, a certain amount of silver, or a certain amount of cash that equals these amounts. Okay, so the general way that scholars have put it out is that there's 87.48 grams of gold, or 7.5 tolas if we count like that, or 612.36 grams of silver, 52.5 tolas. Okay. So in terms of the standards, you have two standards in Nisab. You can either use the gold standard or you can use the silver standard. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, these monetary values were equivalent. Gold and silver were basically roughly the same in terms of their value, in terms of their ratio. Okay. In our time, you can obviously tell that there's a big difference, okay, between the gold and the silver Nisab. So make it clear for what I'm talking about is that if a person has this much money, okay, if we're going from the gold, 4,987.41. We're talking about the silver, 517.58. Okay, if they have this much money at the end of the year, after all their expenses and all this stuff, and at the end, this is what they have in their accounts, you know, this total amount more than that, then they have to give zakat. Okay, they have to give zakat if they have more. And if they don't have this much and they have less than it, then they're actually eligible to receive zakat. So if you have this much or more, you have to be a zakat giver. And if you have less, you have to be a zakat receiver, okay? So now which number will we use, right? That's the big question that's coming up in people's mind. You gave me two numbers, your sheikh. Which one do we use? So scholars have, because of the fact that Sharia has given us two of them, there is a discussion about when is it most beneficial for the poor? Because that's the goal here. Whichever number is beneficial for the poor is the one that we're going to use. So in our time, and what our scholars of America have decided, some of them have given this opinion, is that we should use the gold standard. Because it's more benefit for the poor, since they will not have to give zakat if using the silver standard. So in other words, if we were to use the silver standard, and a person only had about like, imagine they have $600 in their account at the end of the year, they would have to give zakat, right? Whereas that person might be in dire need, you know, and they actually might need zakat. And so, but because of, if we're using the silver standard, we can't give it to them. So that's why scholars have opted for using the gold standard in America. So in other words, long story short for everyone that's listening, is that if you have more than $4,900 or this exact number here in terms of today, you have to check on the date that you're giving your zakat. If on the date you have more than the gold nisab, then you have to give zakat. Okay, more than this amount, you have to give. All right. So that's based off of what we talked about the opinion of our scholars of today. In terms of what do you have to give zakat on,
I tell you, every single year when I refresh my memory about the rules of zakat, I just make so much shukr. I thank Allah about how easy it is. I tell you, it's exceptionally easy. It's very easy for you. And I'll show you at the end about how easy we've made it in our times. In terms of our understanding, you have to give it off of five things: gold, silver, money, investments and loans, and business. Okay? Gold, silver, money, investments, loans, and business. These are the five things you just have to be concerned about. Where are my investments? Where are my loans? Where's my business? What about my money? What about my gold and silver? If you understand these five things, then you're set. You can give zakat within America's time. It's completely fine, easy for you. Okay? And you just have to give 2.5% on the amount that comes off of these five things. Okay? On the day of your zakat, which is your zakat anniversary, which is the last question that we'll address, inshallah. Okay, so I'll just break it down very quickly about these five things that you have to give on. So when it comes to gold and silver, what are we talking about? When you have to calculate your zakat, you're going to sit down and tell yourself, how much gold do I have? How much silver do I have? Okay, however many carats, as long as it's 50% or more gold or silver, you're going to have to give zakat on it, regardless if it's jewelry, regardless if it's utensils, in any other way, if it's in coins, is in bars, if it's white gold, doesn't matter. All zakat is on gold and silver, as long as it's 50% more gold or silver, okay? Wherever it might be. You're going to have to do this, especially for sisters. They should weigh out their gold and silver. They should have a good number in their mind, but this is how much gold I have, this is how much silver I have. Keep that weight written down somewhere. This is what you have to do, okay? So now you have that amount, that weight of your gold, of your zakat. So you keep that written down somewhere. Now every year when your zakat is due, okay, you're going to check the market values for gold or silver, and you're going to basically multiply. So if you're, for example, you have 50 grams of gold, let's just say, or 100 grams of gold, right? Then you multiply it by, let's just say, in that day, every gram is like $50 or something like that. So you multiply 100 by 50, and you can get 500. I'm sorry, 100 by 50, so you can get 5,000, right? And that's the amount that you have to give. You're going to base your zakat off of. You're going to calculate it off of that amount. This is just one portion. Remember that. This is just calculating gold and silver. We've got to calculate every single section, right? So you calculated your gold and silver. It came out to that amount, and you're going to check every that day that you have to give zakat. Check on that date exactly what the amount is for gold. Okay. I'll give you a good example of the calculations at the end. So gold and silver is done. You know, make sure you have the grams. Calculate on the day. Cash savings. So cash and savings, if you have any cryptocurrencies, I just want to get that out of the way right away, is that if you have any cryptocurrencies, you're going to have to give zakat on it as well. It is considered cash, or a certain, you can argue about it being an investment or an asset, whatever. Having said that, Islamically speaking, because it's a currency, it'll be considered the cash that you have. Bank accounts, all the money in your bank accounts, all the money under your bed, right? Whatever money we have at home, this is another amount that we have to consider. So we consider gold and silver, the gram amount, we multiply it by the market value of that day, we get like $5,000. Our cash, maybe we have another 5,000. We put it all together, we have $10,000 so far. Okay. Now our investments and loans. Investment and loans all include the 401k and retirement funds. Our investments also include the stocks at market value of the shares if used for trading, right? We have to give the stocks, we have to give based off the market value. Zakat is also due on any dividends received as well. Okay. Zakat is also due on any loans given out and expected to receive. Don't worry, I'm going to go over each one of these because this requires some detail here. Any loans expected to receive, even if you're not sure when it will be returned, and other accounts receivable. For example, if you're still waiting for your tax refund or your tax return, then even that you have to consider it because it is money which is considered within your hand. It just you have to receive it. It's going to be an immediate, it's account receivable for you. So it's something which will be immediately received soon. So because of that, it's considered zakatable as well. So we have a bunch of things here. Let's go through each one, inshallah. So let's just first talk about this idea about giving out a loan. Okay. If you gave out a loan, if Adam loaned out $800 to Atif, but is not sure when he will pay it back. Okay. So I gave it to my brother took it, and I'm not sure, but he remembers he has to pay me, right? As long as he doesn't deny it. If he's not denying it, you have to give zakat on it. So if he is in that case and you don't know when it's going to come back, you have to give zakat on it. Okay. So if it's $1,000, if it's $5,000, if it's $10,000, you have to give zakat on it every single year. Okay. And so that's this point here. If someone loans out the money without it, it's still your property in their possession. So the zakat must be calculated on it. Okay. So even if you didn't specify any time or any time to return it. In terms of stocks, we have two types of stocks. There are listed stocks and non-listed stocks. Okay, listed stocks, you have to give zakat on the whole. And this might not refer, might not be relevant to certain brothers and sisters, and I'm aware of that. But for those brothers and sisters that have stocks, they should be aware about how much they have to give zakat on these stocks. If it's listed, they're using it as merchandise. You give zakat on the whole because it's merchandise. So you're going to buy and sell. You're trading stocks, right? So you have to give zakat on the total value, the market value. If it's non-listed though, if it's something you considered as an investment for the future, you have to give zakat on the company's zakatable assets. You have to give zakat on the company's zakatable assets. What does that mean? So listed, we already spoke about, okay? The idea of merchandise with the intention of resale. So zakat is obligatory on the entire amount. For example, Abu Bakr, if you bought stocks at $10, okay? And then you obviously have the niyyah to resell them whenever you get a chance, right? And on a zakat due date, you find that the stocks actually doubled to $20. You'll give it based off the market value, which is $20, okay? So he bought it at 10, it doubled to 20. Now you check the market value on the day for your zakat, it says $20, I give it on $20. Very simple, very easy for zakats which are listed. For non-listed ones, it's a little trickier. How so? It's because of the fact that since you're there for the long run, you actually are concerned with the company, you're there for the investment. So zakat is due on the percentage. You're actually like a proper shareholder, right? You are because of now you're considered a partner. This is a partnership in Islam. So that's slightly different rules. Zakat is due on the percentage of zakatable assets within the company. I'll give you an example. So if you look at the company's balance sheet, you're looking at the company's balance sheet, what do we find? Is that let's say you have $100 worth of stocks, right? And you have the intention of receiving a dividend. So the stock, you have to look at the balance sheet and you see that the company has 10% gold and silver, 20% in cash, 20% in manufactured goods, and 50% in equipment and machinery. Okay. So I, as a person who's giving zakat, I look at the amounts that are in gold and silver, I look at the cash, and look at the goods, the manufactured goods. And so these things together, and I won't look at the equipment or machinery. That part is not considered zakatable. You don't give zakat on the fixtures or the things that are required to establish your business. For example, tables and chairs and vans and cars, all used to deliver products and things like that. Those are all equipment and machinery. Those are not zakatable. When it comes to zakatables, we have gold and silver, we have cash, we have manufactured goods. Since it's about 50% of the company's assets, I only give from that 50%. So if I have $100 worth of stocks, since it's only the company has 50% zakatable assets, I only get 50% of the $100 of my stocks, which is just $50. Okay, I hope that's clear again. If you're only going to look at the zakatable assets within the company, and if it's like 50%, 20%, 35%, the amount that you invested in the company, you only give based off of that percentage. That's all you have to do. Okay, so if you cannot access balance sheets though, if you're like, bro, this is a lot of work. If you're feeling you can do that annual report and look at it, again, it's not too hard to figure out. But if you find it that's too difficult for you, one scholar had done a lot of work, mashallah. He went through 100 of the most famous and popular companies in the market, and the halal companies, of course. Please don't come to me and talk about haram companies, okay? You can give 20, he said you may give 25% of the share price. If you have a non-listed stock, 25% of the share price is considered enough for you to give for your zakatable assets of that company, okay? But it's always safer to give on the total. If you want to just completely be safe and say, you know what, don't want to take it on any chance or any risk, then just give it on the total amount, and that's completely fine. It'll work like the same listed stocks. It'll be just considered like merchandise, okay? Now, in terms of the 401k and other retirement funds, so we covered stocks, we covered cryptocurrencies, and now saw about 401k. When it comes to your retirement funds, they are a voluntary employee benefit program. This is just something that we ourselves we put in our money for our benefit in the future, right? We're telling ourselves that this is money that will sit away. It is from our own, like it's from our income, right? It's something that's within our gross, and it's taken away every single year or every single paycheck, so that way it's stored away. And so this is money that we have for our futures. And so we are blessed with these accounts. You should understand this is again a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. You have this account. Someone is going to you have a secure future for yourself. So we cannot by having this account and just say, okay, I'm going to worry about my future, but I don't care about the poor of our time. We cannot do that. Okay, we cannot ignore the current needs of the poor and needy in our time. we have to give from this amount as well. And every single way we look at it, it is our money. Okay, even if we have to pay a penalty tax for early withdrawal, does not change that fact that it is our money. It is an investment. It is a savings. There's so many ways to look at it. It's very hard to argue that it's not something you have to give zakat on. Okay, and zakat is on the money which is sitting around, and this is definitely something that qualifies. So you have to give it on the amount on the 401k every single year. What? How do you give it? You check the amount, and you see that there's a certain part which is from your paycheck, a certain part which is vested from the company, which is given from the company. That part which is vested from the company and that part which is from your paycheck, it's all considered on your side, okay? And you don't consider the tax. You don't say, oh, okay, there's a 15% tax on it, a 10% tax on it. You don't consider those things. You give it on the total amount because that's what you have. Allah knows if taxes will change in the future. If they do change, if they don't change, that's not your concern. Your concern is that I have this amount. This is what they promised me. This is what they said that I have as a total. And I give on that total. Okay. You have two options here in terms of giving. If you want to give every single year, you have the option of giving every single year. If you don't want to give it every single year, and you want to say after I get my 401k, I want to give it on that amount, then you have to do this at least. Every single year, you have to calculate your zakat. And then after receiving your pension fund, then you say, okay, for all these years, from 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, all those years, I'm going to give zakat at the end, okay? Obviously, the first way of giving every single year is much easier, but the second one might be more practical for people who have a higher amount in their 401k later on in their lives. So see which one works, but just remember, if you're going to choose a second option, you have to calculate it every single year to make sure you're giving away the right amount, okay? So that's four of the things. So far, we covered gold and silver, then we covered cash, then we covered investments and loans, okay? Now we're going to cover business merchandise, which is our fifth category. If you are a businessman, you're selling things, items being sold, okay? You're selling metals, stones, houses, cars, whatever you're selling, right? All the merchandise has to be considered part of your zakatable assets. So there are no zakat again on fixtures, machinery, delivery items. That's not considered at all. If it is yours, right? If the merchandise is yours, you will have to give zakat on it. If you're selling on someone else's merchandise, for example, you are a manager of a store, it's not actually your stuff, you're not the owner, then it's not zakatable, okay? So managers, because they're just managing, they don't have to give zakat on the things that they are within the store that they control or with stores, so that they're working off of. Obviously, this refers to owners who actually own the merchandise within the store, okay? And so if they're selling anything, if you are a person who sells on eBay, or if you're a person who sells these types of things or those types of things, whatever you're selling is considered, okay? So those are the five things. Just as a side point about a person who is selling properties or someone who's in the business of properties. If you're receiving rent from the properties, you give zakat on net at the end of the year, okay? So after all your expenses, all of, you know, the maintenance, et cetera, the rent that you receive at the end, the net, not the gross, right? So for example, if you get, you know, your rent from this person's, this property that you're renting out is like $30,000, right? But at the end, you know, in terms of expenses, whatever, maintenance, whatever, it comes down to maybe 20,000 or so. You give zakat on the 20,000, not on the 30,000, not on the gross. You always give on the net for the rent. When it comes to resale, you're reselling the property. You bought a property and now you're going to resell it onto the market. You give zakat on the entire property at market value. Okay. So if you're in the business of selling properties, you have to give zakat on those properties. So if it's $100,000, $200,000, $400,000 house you're selling, reselling it, you're going to have the zakat on the market value of the property. When it comes to living in the house or building the house, your intention was at the time of signing, you said, you know what, I want to live here or I want to build on it. You don't give zakat. You don't give zakat. If you're not sure as to what you're going to do with the property later on, you're like, yeah, I'm going to buy this piece of land. I'm not sure. I might masjid, madrasa, house, jacuzzi, something, I don't know, whatever you want. You're not sure? No zakat. Okay, so the only two places you have to consider is when you are reselling the property and when it comes to giving rent or getting rent from the property. Okay, and there is a 6 and 7 here about livestock and agricultural produce. These are very detailed though. The Prophet ﷺ had outlined it per camel, per goat. You know, there is so much detail in our books of fiqh about these topics. If you do have these issues of you actually have some goats and sheep that you're selling or something like that, or some agricultural produce, please consult your scholars. Inshallah, they'll help you out. And maybe we'll get you to the right person to help you. In terms of, so that's our zakatables. And so I want to just summarize it again. There are five things you have to look for. You have to look for your gold and silver. Gold, 1. Silver, 2. Cash, 3. Investments and loans. right? And merchandise and business is number five, okay? So you have to look at all these things and put all of them together. My goal is 5,000. My money is 5,000. My investments are 10,000. This is 50,000. And I put all these numbers together, and then I can start to calculate it at the end, okay? So those are the things that you do calculate. What don't you calculate in terms of zakat? What don't you calculate are all metals besides gold and silver. Sorry, I should say gold and silver there. All metals besides gold and silver, okay? You don't calculate that. You don't calculate fixtures and equipment used for business. You don't calculate precious stones and stones. You know, we're talking about diamonds. We're talking about, you know, rubies and pearls, whatever. These are all considered, you know, non-zakatable in Sharia, okay? And imitation gold and silver, they're not real gold and silver. Don't calculate those. If it's platinum, if it's steel, iron, whatever it might be, these things we don't consider as well. Living quarters, the place that you live in, your furniture, your clothes, even if you have lots of clothes, even if your closet is full of clothes, those are not zakatable, okay? They could be used later on. We do say they might be excessive, that's for sure, but it doesn't mean that they're zakatable. Anything of personal use, the rule is anything of personal use is considered non-zakatable as a general rule, okay? Cars, if you have a bunch of cars, you have three or four cars, but they're all being used for your family, those are also non-zakatable. So don't consider zakat for any place you live in. Don't zakat on your furniture, on your clothes, on your appliances, your microwaves, whatever, your cars, your cats, whatever it is. These things are personal, so they're not considered zakatable. Okay? Unless, though, if it's used as merchandise, then zakat will be obligatory to give. If it's used as merchandise, then we consider it not to be zakatable. Okay? So those are the non-zakatables, okay? About a lot of our life is actually non-zakatable, okay? And there's that certain amount which is in our accounts and our things that we're using for investments. Those are things which will be zakatable, okay? In terms of now we understand what we need to give, and now we need to know when do we need to give, okay? People are saying, Sheikh, you're telling me to give zakat. When do I give the zakat? Every year, okay? So the primary way of doing it, first and foremost, in Islam, was when the first time a person reached nisab, okay? Again, nisab is that threshold, that amount of money that a person needs to have in order for their for them to be considered a zakat giver, okay? So when they reach, for example, we talked about it before, $4,900, right? So if at that time when a person, for example, at 23, they had $5,000 in savings on the first Ramadan, from the next year, that person will start calculating zakat on that date, meaning the first of Ramadan. In other words, when it's the first time you've ever reached nisab, that day you have to start considering from your zakat, okay? This is why I stress to parents and for all these teenagers, there might be a time where you start working. And when you start working, you have a certain amount of zakat, a certain amount of wealth that's coming into you, mashallah. Now that day we finally saw that, oh yeah, I spiked over the nisab amount. So now you have to start giving on that day, okay? On the lunar day, by the way, the lunar month, you look at Ramadan, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, look at the Islamic dates. Don't look at, you know, Gregorian calendar. Don't look at January or July or whatever. But look at the lunar calendar, okay? So that's the proper way of doing it. Obviously, everyone's telling themselves, I don't remember that day. I'd even consider it. Maybe sisters might have an easier time because maybe of mahar, because of the fact they received mahar on a certain date. And so it's very easy for her to say, okay, on that day, yeah, I did receive it. And now you can just say that this is the Islamic date. That could be easy for sisters. Having said that, maybe your person just cannot remember. What you need to do and what I need to do is stipulate a day and pay on that day every lunar year that passes. You stipulate one day in the year and on that day you're going to check, okay? And it's not required. People have this question, just as a side point. People say that, oh, I have to, this money I had didn't stay with me for a year. Brother and sister, it doesn't matter about the money staying with you for a year. It's just the fact that you are on nisab, you're at least above $0. If you're above $0 the entire year, you're good to go, okay? You have to give zakat. So you just check on the day that you stipulated for yourself. So laziman, I tell myself, on the 15th of Ramadan, I'm going to give zakat, okay? No matter what happens throughout the year, it doesn't matter. You just have to check that one day every year and calculate off of that. That's how simple it is. If it's on the 15th of Ramadan, 27th of Ramadan, 20th of Ramadan, whatever day it is, just check that one day every single year and calculate off of that. Okay, so I'll give you an example here, just to make sure I'm as resounding and clear as I can be, that Umar stipulated the 17th of Ramadan to give zakat on a yearly basis. The gold nisab is, I gave you this number here, $3,654.28. Okay, the gold nisab is about $3,600. In Muharram, he had $10,000. Okay, he invested in a very nice stock and mashallah, he made a lot of money. In Rajab, he dropped down to 2,000, got hit with the pandemic. What are you going to do, right? And Sha'ban, he managed to save $6,000. On the 15th of Ramadan, he received a bonus to total $8,000. His total is $8,000. On the 17th of Ramadan, he will give on which value? He will give on the 8,000. Okay. No matter what happened throughout the year, that's irrelevant. Just check what happens on the 17th of Ramadan. How much money do I have on that day? Okay. And so because he has $8,000, he has to give zakat on it. And so he will divide by 40, or he will do multiply by, you know, 2.5%. It gets to a zakat total of $200. Okay. $200 he has to give. He gives it to the poor. MashaAllah, he's done. He's exempt. Okay. In terms of deductibles, what are the deductibles here? They're immediate debts. Okay. Immediate debts meaning within within a month's time, something that you pay right away. Okay. You can consider it to be your utilities, right? You have to pay for electricity, for example, or for water, for example, these types of things, immediate debts, or someone you have to pay back right away. You know, those things you can deduct. It's fine. In terms of long-term debts, the scholars have said up to a year if there's financial difficulty by not considering them. So a person who has long-term debts, they have this huge mortgage to pay off or something like that. There is a certain scope in Sharia to consider this as well. Though we highly advise people that if it's not considered a financial burden for you, then don't consider it. You know, just rather just pay the zakat every single year. That's better for you. You know, it's a lot more khayr in that, you know. So or else, you know, you'll see that people will shave off lots and lots of money and no Muslim will ever give zakat because they don't want to give zakat. May Allah protect us from that. So the idea is that you can deduct these things. You don't have to deduct these things. If a person wants to give in full because they're happy with whatever Allah has given them, then my brother and sister in Islam, out of happiness and joy and just the fact that Allah is your Lord, just give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Once you separated it, so on that day, so I'll give you, for example, myself, 15th of Ramadan every single year. I check on the 15th of Ramadan. I check at nighttime once Maghrib time comes in. Okay? At that moment, you know, you tell yourself, you calculate everything, you put it all together. And then what do you do once you separate, you calculated the total. And then what do you do once you separate your zakat? You must make intention first and most of giving that zakat. Let's say that, all right, I calculated it. It came out to $500. Let's just say. Zakat is $500. I divide it by 40, $500. It is not necessary that the person, once you make that intention, you're good to go. Now, when you have to go and give it to the person that you're giving it to, you don't even have to tell them that it's zakat. You don't have to tell the person it's zakat. Just give it to them, say it's a gift. You know, some people feel very offended by getting zakat or receiving zakat. You don't have to tell them, okay? It should be done immediately, as soon as possible. The separation should be done immediately, okay? If not, you know, if you can, give it right away too. But if you can't give it right away, at least make sure to set it away on that day of discharging zakat, okay? And I want to stress this point. The Prophet ﷺ said, zakat is never intermingled with any amount of wealth. Zakat is never mixed with any amount of wealth without destroying it and rotting it, okay? Destroying it and rotting it. When a person were not to separate their zakat, the danger is that because it's still within our wealth, what's going to happen is it will start to fester, it will start to decay, and actually cause a lot of decrease in a person's barakah. They'll find that they're losing wealth instead of gaining wealth, okay? So I advise every Muslim to make sure to separate it when that day comes in, okay? And it must be given, if you're going to give the zakat out to any poor person, it must be given through unconditional ownership, okay? It should not be on the case of, okay, I'm going to receive a favor from them. Okay, this person, I'm going to give the zakat, so that way he's going to take care of my plumbing. Or, you know, he's going to fix my light bulbs or whatever. This is not considered zakat. This is called business, right? La ilaha illallah. Okay? So we try our best, inshallah ta'ala, to give zakat freely without asking for anything, with anything like that. Just from the sake of fulfilling the right obligation that Allah has put upon us. And happy for the fact that we are blessed with this wealth, inshallah. Okay? Can you give zakat in advance? Yes, you can give zakat in advance. It is permissible to give zakat in advance. What does that mean? Is that my day is the 17th of Ramadan. Okay? And what I want to do is, I found that there's a poor person, for example. A poor person has come to me and they need some money. So I said that, you know, what I can do is, I know I'm going to give zakat in the 17th of Ramadan. Right now it's like the 12th of Sha'ban, right? It's a little before Ramadan. But you know what? I know how much I have to give as an estimate, you know, like a certain amount that I think I'm going to have to give. So you know what? I'm going to use that amount that I would normally have given on the 17th of Ramadan. I'm going to use a little bit right now and give it to this poor person, okay? So you can subtract that throughout the year. So giving the example here, Abdullah, he gave out $400 to a poor person in zakat in Rajab. When the 17th Ramadan comes, he calculates his zakat to be $1,200. But because he gave out $400 earlier, he can subtract the 400 and he's left with $800 to give at the end. And if he gave $1,600 throughout the year, then when the time of zakat comes, he doesn't have to give anything on that day. Okay, so it becomes very clear that mashallah, this is a very effective way. If you ever want to give, you know, to the needy, and telling yourself, I can't really, you know, sadaqah is very hard for me at this moment, but mashallah, I can give zakat. Zakat is very easy for me, right? So you can try to do this as well, inshallah ta'ala. This is permissible to give in advance. Okay, now let's just go through one rough calculation so that way everything makes sense. So I checked all the gold and silver in my house. I took the rings, I took the jewelry, I took everything, I put it all in my, I weighed it, right? I saw it to be this many grams. I multiplied it according to the market value of the day. I saw that it equals $5,000. Everything together equaled $5,000. The cash and savings that I saw in my accounts, my savings, my checking, I saw under my pillow, I saw my cryptos, whatever it is, all my coins, I put them all together, it comes to $10,000. I saw my investments and my stocks. I saw that the market value for that day was $2,000, right? And the dividends I received were also, I put them in there as well. My 401k, my pension plan may have come up to $12,000. In terms of my business stock, my merchandise, the stuff that I have, it's $20,000, right? We're getting a total, you know, if you put them all together, 15, 17, 29, and then we get up to 49, right? $49,000. But then I have deductibles. I have my mortgage, I have my bills, I have my immediate debts. I find that I can reduce it by $18,000. So my total is $31,000 at the end of the year in terms of my excess wealth. After everything considered, this is how much I have. And by the way, this is such a great way to thank Allah Ta'ala at the end of the year, just telling yourself, Alhamdulillah. You know, people in country can't even save $500. Look at me, I have $31,000, mashallah. You know, we should thank Allah Ta'ala about how kind He is to us. He's so kind upon us. So finally, at the end, what do you do? Just divide by 40, you get $775 and your zakat is done. Okay? And your zakat is done. Maulana, I'm not good at math. You told me a lot of math, a lot of numbers. I don't want to do any of that. All right, I'll give you even better. You get type into Google, Children of Adam Zakat Calculator. Children of Adam Zakat Calculator. Okay? It's one of the best ones I found online. And so that's the one I'm recommending. Not for any other reason, just because I found it to be very simple and very easy for people to use. So the Children of Adam Zakat Calculator, you go there, you get this website here, okay? It'll give you, you're going to put the Nisab standard, you're going to put the gold standard down, okay? It has cash on hand, bank accounts, shares, investment properties, retirement plans, business inventory, everything I just literally just told you about. On here, you just put off everything, you put it down. It'll tell you at the end, are you a Zakat giver or a Zakat receiver? Okay, and then it'll tell you the total amount. And mashallah, Children of Adam themselves, because they do, you know, everything strictly 100% to the poor, you could even give it to them at the end as well. Okay, so it makes it very easy for people to handle their zakat. We should make shukr to Allah. We live in this time, you know. The only thing that stops us from fulfilling the rights of Islam is the fact that we just don't want to practice. You know, Allah gives that love for Islam, so we practice it. In terms of where to give, which is our final discussion, inshallah, is because we talked about it. Okay, I understand. Now, what to give, I understand when to give, right? But I don't know where to give it. Who do I give it to, okay? In terms of, to make it very simple for everyone here, in terms of our times, you're only going to find three types of people that you're going to give it to. The poor and needy, okay? Those people that are themselves, they don't have the zakat nisab, right? The poor and needy, people that have homes, right? The homeless, you can give it to them. The people in debt, right? Anyone you find in debt, you know, that is above the income that they receive, or it's overwhelming on them, you know. Debt, people in debt is also okay. And travelers. These are the three major categories in our time. We're talking about people you can give zakat to. Just keep that in mind. The poor and needy, those in debt, and travelers, okay. The next section, I'm going to explain all the different categories just for the sake of learning and to be a person of a student of knowledge. Because in Islam, if you learn a chapter of deen, the Prophet ﷺ said, is better than 1,000 rakats of prayer. So I just want to teach everyone everything else. So that way, inshallah, you're well aware. In terms of where you need to, practically speaking though, just look for these three categories, you're good to go, okay? Where the places that are called to give zakat are called masraf, okay? A masraf or masarif are the places to change. You're changing hands. It's a change of ownership, giving the money to that person, okay? And there are 8 places in Islam. And I want to stress this. It is giving it to a physical living person, okay? Not to an object, not to a building, not to any other place. You're giving it to a person. Okay, so there are 8 places in Islam. They are literally outlined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah and chapters in verse number 60. Okay, he makes it clear. He doesn't give it to the options of scholars or anyone to figure it out. He writes them out himself. Okay, Allah ta'ala himself, Rabbul Alameen, said these are the places that you're going to give zakat. Okay, zakat is for number one, the poor. Number two, the needy. In Islam, like in Arabic, there's a slight difference between faqir and miskeen. We're not going to get into it. But in any case, they are considered two separate categories. The administrators of zakat is given to. That's number three. Those people that are employed by the state to give the zakat. Okay. Number four is those hearts who have been recently reconciled, i.e. new Muslims. Okay. Number four is for new Muslims that have just recently embraced Islam. Number five is for those in slavery. Number six is in debt. Number seven is in the cause of Allah. Okay, we'll talk about the path of Allah, fi sabilillah, in a second. And number eight is for the traveler. Fadidatan min Allah. Allah says ordained by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is full of knowledge and full of wisdom. Okay, so Allah says these are the 8 categories in Islam that a person needs to give. Okay, so when it comes to fuqara, miskeen, a faqir is someone who has a roof on their heads or food for the day, but not enough for nisab. Faqir will be someone who has something, but not enough that is considered nisab level. Okay, miskeen is like someone who's the lowest of the low. Okay, they have no earnings at all. What you would consider like this is actually a poor person, legitimately a poor person. That's a miskeen in terms of Sharia. Okay, scholars have said it's the flip. Allah Ta'ala knows best, but these are the slight difference between faqir, someone who has a little bit but not enough for nisab, and miskeen, someone who has nothing at all. Okay, in terms of where do you give the amilin, the zakat collectors, it is when we had a proper Islamic country and those people who are actually employed to go and collect zakat. Okay, when there is actual fixed Muslim treasury, there are a lot of things to become an actual zakat collector. Not those corporate employees, not the people that are trying to help out the Muslim ummah, not for X company that's giving salaries. Okay, this is not considered okay. Just because someone has made it their job to collect zakat doesn't mean they're a true zakat collector. They could have done anything else. The world would have functioned without them. A true Islamic country needs these people to survive and thrive. Okay, this is what these people are for. This is what their entire job is. So they can, if you want, you know, if you find a certain company, that's why I tell people, I stress, when you're giving zakat, make sure that there's very little, you know, or no overhead whatsoever. Or you have to pay the difference in between. Because what's going to happen is they're going to pay off this employee, and that's not jayz. That's just a salary for someone else. That person himself wasn't poor, okay? So they can be given through separate sadaqah fund, but not through the zakat. Zakat is for the poor, a living person who is actually in dire need, okay? So that's making clear that since we don't have an Islamic country, don't have a treasury, we don't consider the amilin, those who are working or those who are appointed to take zakat. In terms of where to give, again, those new Muslims who are in financial difficulty, of course this exists in our time, but it's always just considered poor people anyways, right? It's poor Muslims, so you can give to them anyways. Niqab is those who are in slavery, and obviously it's very hard to find slaves. There are still people within slavery. But to find those people who you can pay to free them from slavery, that is also a place for giving zakat. Okay. In terms of those who are in debt, in severe debt, who are unable to pay back their loans, even students, by the way, student loans are a reality, right? And they have such severe debt. And their debts really do exceed their income. There are a lot of people who are in dire need in the world. Debt is a reality, even if a person has a job. They may not have enough to even have anything at the end of the month. Okay, they can't even pay off their utility bills or their rent or whatever. This is a place where you can give zakat also. Fi sabilillah is one of those controversial ones of our time, and if we're looking at it, what it really means and why did Allah Ta'ala go through 7 different categories and all these things? Right, we understood that this is a specific category. It is a specific category, i.e., those who are fighting in Allah's way. Okay, those warriors who are going out to fight. And they're defending Allah Ta'ala's message and they're defending the Muslims. Those are the people to give to. And obviously, you're not really going to find those people today anyways. Okay? Recently, though, people have claimed it that it's given to masajid because they say, oh, but it's fi sabilillah. Okay? If it was so general, you know, they said the Quran says fi sabilillah in general. Look, listen, if it was so general, why did Allah Ta'ala mention 7 other categories? Why did Allah specify these 7 categories? Why did Allah use words in the Quran to make it clear that, you know, these are different categories you have to give to? Okay, if it was so general, Allah could have just said, just give fi sabilillah. There'd be literally no difference between zakat and sadaqah. But there is. Zakat is a fixed obligatory requirement or an action in Islam where a person needs to do. And so this is why we consider fi sabilillah. It is a specific category of, i.e., those who are fighting in Allah's way. And certain scholars have said maybe those people were cut off during the time of Hajj and things like that. But having said that, look, zakat is a filth of wealth. We spoke about that way back in the beginning. It should not be used to build places of worship. For 1400 years, Muslims have always understood. Even Quraysh at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they had such haram investments and things like that. But they said, once we're rebuilding the Kaaba, we'll make sure to use our halal wealth, our pure wealth, you know. Even non-Muslims at the time of the Prophet ﷺ have understood this reality. How could it be that Muslims 1400 years later are now thinking that, you know what, with the filth of the wealth, we're going to build our masajid, okay? We do have a lot again. I want to make it clear. This is such a small amount, 1/40, 39 parts for you, right? If we kept 38 parts for ourselves, we would have seen that, mashallah, a lot of development would happen in our Muslim lands and our Muslim world, you know, and Muslims in general, in our communities. But we don't want to give that amount. We just, we have a lot. We just need bigger hearts, okay? And the last one is the Ibn Sabil, which is the traveler. He came from location A, location B. He got stuck, you know. He has no communication, no phone, everything like that. He has to head back, you know. And I want to make it clear that, you know, many people come up and say we're travelers. We got cut off in our digital age. You know, it's very strange to me that a person will come to a masjid and say, I have no money to get back home. I mean, don't you have a phone? Don't you have family? What happened? You know, like there's a lot of questions we need to address. This is the only one I'm a little bit skeptical when someone comes to me and says I'm a traveler. Having said that, my own heart would feel so bad to turn away someone. I always try to give something anyways. But don't let someone run your pockets, you know. Someone will come into your masjid and say, yes, I'm a traveler, you know, and this isn't this. I'll be like, okay, can you call some family? Can we get some idea? Can we get some ID, some identification? You know, don't let someone just, because this happens. In many of our masajid, some guy will come in and just say, I'm in need of such and such help. And people will help him. And then he'll go to another masjid and do the same thing. He will do this for multiple masajid on his ajib route of scamming, you know, and go from New York to Massachusetts. And, you know, mashallah, we catch some of these people. So I always tell people, be very careful about travelers in our day. But again, in our time, who do you have to give to? The poor and needy, those in debt, and finally, the travelers, right? These are the categories we talked about. Who also don't you give to? You don't give to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay? They're considered people who are exempt from, or then they cannot accept zakat. You don't give to any of your lineages, meaning your parents and your sons. Right? You don't give to parents, you don't give to children or grandchildren. Obviously, because in Islam, we're already supposed to take care of them. Giving zakat to them wouldn't even make any sense. Okay, non-Muslims, we don't give to. Again, this is just make sure our Muslims are doing fine. We can always give sadaqah to non-Muslims. In terms of public spaces, hospitals, schools, structures, we encourage people to give sadaqah. Right? This is the way we help the world. Zakat is really the first step. This is the next step, is that we start to help the world in general, right? Zakat again is to make sure Muslims are functioning well. Dead people, you can't give it to dead people. You can't give it for burial expenses. Burial expenses would mean that you're giving it to the dead person. The dead person can't receive the zakat, right? It has to be given to a living, breathing individual. That's a poor person. You can't give it for burial expenses as well. So we'll make it clear, it has to be someone who's alive, okay? So we have all these different cases here that you cannot give to, okay? And I would always remind people that sadaqah is always an option. We should never ever tell ourselves that we can't give anything. Zakat is only our fard obligatory amount. But the same way a person prays fard prayer and they have nafal things that they do, the same exact thing here. Okay? What are the best places to give? It's our last slide here, inshallah. Is that you can give to relatives that are poor, and that you should give to Muslims who are closer versus further. Okay? The relatives that are poor have such a right upon us. I can't exaggerate it enough. They have the right that they are poor. They have the right that they are Muslim. And they have the right that they are relatives. Right? They have three rights on us. Poverty, Islam, and the fact that they are qaraba, they are close, they are relatives to us. And close Muslims versus further ones, the Prophet ﷺ actually stressed this. He said that the zakat has to be taken from the rich and delivered to their poor. Okay? So you actually take it from the same community and give it to the poor of that community. That's how the community itself starts to develop. So I will always stress people that when you need to give to the Muslims that are right near you. And alhamdulillah, Massachusetts has some great systems to try to make sure zakat is given out in a very beautiful way to the Muslims of our area. So a primary amount of our zakat should be given to those people. And then thereafter, we can consider all over the world, people who are in financial need and, you know, despair, because we are following the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. So inshallah ta'ala, that's basically it for what we need to talk about. In summary, what we discussed is the importance of zakat, where zakat needs to be given. We spoke about that. Who needs to give it? What wealth has to be given? And when do I have to give it on? Okay. And there were very simple questions again. And if you have any more questions, inshallah, this is the time for Q&A. You can ask, inshallah ta'ala, if there are any other questions. Here, let me. Inshallah, if you also want to use the mic, you can use it, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, if there are no questions, I just want to last stress, inshallah, is just remember this, you know, again, zakat is there. Do you have a question?
I have a question.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you want to continue or should I just ask?
Go ahead. You can ask a question. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I have something I was really confused about when you mentioned giving zakat on merchandise or inventory if you own a business. So, for example, you have merchandise or inventory in your store or whatever, and then later on, you pay zakat on that, and then later on, you sell them. So, you acquire income through that business. So, are you paying zakat double or twice on the merchandise first, and then on the resale or on the sale, or do you only pay once?
It's a very good question. So, in terms of the merchandise, you will pay because it's sitting in your store. So because it's there, it has a certain value in the market. You have to give zakat on that amount, on the merchandise. And then when you sell it again, when you sell it at the end, ultimately that money will come to you. And obviously it will go up and down. This is an option, right? Throughout the year, you might buy something, you might sell something, right? So whatever the end value is, right? The net at the end of the year, that's what you're giving on at that time. So we wouldn't say that you're giving on the merchandise per se. You're going to give it at the net amount or the excess wealth at the end of the year. I hope that made sense, inshallah. Is there a zakat to be paid on, and please let me know if you need clarification again, I'm completely fine with that. Is there a zakat to be paid on diamonds and other gems that a person has? Again, there's no zakat on diamonds or other gems other than, again, we talked about the only metals that are considered in Sharia are gold and silver. Everything else is considered non-zakatable. So when you have those other things, they're probably the best gifts in the world, you know, so that way you don't have to give zakat on them or else jewelry sits around. And every year you have to give zakat on it, right? That's a very good question. Any other questions?
Is it tax deductible?
Zakat. So when it comes to zakat and tax deductibility, I find it just not in the spirit of zakat, you know? Scholars have written about it and things like that. It just doesn't seem right, you know, in my own heart. You know, I would strongly discourage against zakat. Because of that reason, because you are supposed to give it as a fard, as if now you're benefiting from this, right? Where you're not supposed to benefit at all, right? So I would really strongly discourage it. In terms of sadaqah has a bit more leeway, a bit more room. But again, both of these things, like we gave it for the sake of Allah, for us to benefit from them, just feels a little weird, you know? So having said that, zakat, I definitely would say no. Sadaqah, you have some room there. There are some zakat calculators that require state regular expenses such as rent, etc. can be deducted. Is that correct? Yes. Again, when it comes to deductibles, we talked about it that if you have any things which are immediate that have to be taken care of right away, so for example, rent, utility bills, etc., they can be deducted. It's a reality. So you can remove that if you have that financial burden. But if you don't have a burden, yeah, monthly regular expenses, you can take that away from your zakat amount. That's completely fine. But again, I would always encourage if you aren't financially constrained, then just give it, inshallah. Okay. Just to clarify, zakat must be paid on pensions and IRAs, even if you receive it at a later time, correct? Yes, you have to. And again, I told you the two options. Either you give it right away every year on your zakat date, you check your pension and you give that amount. Or every single year you calculate a little bit and a little bit, a little bit. And finally, when you receive the total at the end, at 65 or 67 or whatever, at that time you can give all the zakat at once for every single year. You have that option too. Okay. Very good. Is there a burden? Yeah, if there's a burden. But if it's not, then you don't have to. Yeah. Again, I feel as an honor as a Muslim that we should be happy to give more. Allah is so kind to us. Why not just give 1/40th, right? But I'll make it easy, of course. But yeah, come on, inshallah. If there are any other questions, inshallah. You always have my. What about white gold? White gold is also considered. We spoke about that as well. White gold is also considered zakatable. If you have my, you all have my contacts. Hopefully, inshallah, you have the masjid email. info@icburlington.org. If you have any other questions about zakat, it comes directly to me. I can see it, inshallah. I can address it, inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow's program is on i'tikaf. If you are considering to do i'tikaf, please join in for tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairah. May Allah give us more barakah and khair, inshallah, and allow us to, from this wealth, we attain the greatest thing, which is Allah's pleasure, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.